Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Divine Council. Today, I am here with my guest, the Soaring Skies leader, alien legend, and my co-host, the Fire Master, Jameson.
That's one way to put it.
Before we get into our Divine Council discussions, how are you guys doing today?
Fair to middling, but I'm all right.
On this Divine Council episode, we will be discussing the world of Elestrials, mainly the world of the powerful two costs. Now, in this two cost terror, I'm going to be asking what you guys think are A, the most powerful two costs, and B, the ones that look the scariest. Now, Elestrials is known to be pretty cute. They're like fun creatures. But which ones would you not want to see in real life? You're like, ooh, that is something scary. Or something that would be, you'd be worried about facing off with.
I mean, I'm going to go first and just say Waspire. I have an overwhelming fear of wasps, and that one hits the spot.
That makes sense.
On top of that, its burn effect is quite interesting. It's not the most powerful of the two costs, certainly in fire. I'm sure Jameson will get onto some of his more favorited two-cost fires. Though I do like the little wasp guy, despite him representing my biggest fears. As a burn player from wind, I do like it when burn is in the other element.
I do gotta say, the fire wings kind of freak me out. Because I just imagine him flying around spewing ashes everywhere he goes.
Oh, I thought it was just jetpacking. He's just always upside down.
He's always upside down. You know what? That is also something. He's always pointing his stinger at you, like prepared to like launch like a missile.
Wow.
Well, that is definitely an interesting one. If I'm up next, I gotta say the one I gotta go with, which is one that I've probably mentioned frequently here, is Krakatuga. That thing has a mountain. He has a volcanic mountain on his back. We've talked about Krakatuga before.
No, you've never said anything about Krakatuga. I know, this is the first time I've heard about it.
Ah, of course, of course. Well, if people don't know, it is a water fire two cost that if you use eruption, you are able to target and destroy a card.
And play his best friend.
So it is a very strong card in my opinion. And if set up right, can end a game suddenly without notice. So this is definitely a strong card with 9 defense. But I'm just saying, it's got jagged rocks, volcanic magma, like underwater volcanoes can be pretty rough.
I'm more scared of the land volcanoes, but underwater's still pretty scary.
So that's one of my fearful foes that I think is pretty strong. And probably
I will agree with that, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's also one of the strongest current two costs, you know?
It is really strong, yeah.
The thing that I would say, like, in contention that might be stronger, which I need to delve more into, is Capricorn. While not looking as intimidating, it looks regal, majestic. But that thing can, like, give me infinite regen. It can get me my mutations, galaxies. It can get me a lot of the resources. It gets sluggle regen. Like, if I get this on the board and it gets going,
that is a big if. Like, with all two costs.
Like, it can be pretty tough, in my opinion. You just gotta get it out. I mean, that's just how you play two costs. And in my opinion, with Tadpuff and like Foamy, it's not that hard to get two costs. I think out of most teams, Water has the most flexible sustainability to be able to like get those two costs out.
I have a different opinion there, but I will save it for a little later on because it's not technically a two cost. I believe we still need to hear Jameson's answer for his most terrifying two cost.
Yes, we do.
Well, I think as far as terrifying, I'm not really scared of any of these things because shotgun beats creature every time. But my shotgun of choice, actually, is Blazeress.
You know, I had a feeling you'd say him, because he was gonna. I was gonna bring him up if you did not.
Yeah, that's why I didn't. I was gonna bring him up if he didn't as well.
Yeah. As far as the most powerful two cost Celestrals in the game, being a bridge to Trifernal is just a hand wavy effect. It's really not necessary, especially if you're not running Trifernal. But the ability to attack twice inherently on a turn is ridiculously strong. And I think it's the most powerful version of the two costs in the base set. When you start looking into the future of what's been revealed from Frostfall and whatnot at this point, yeah, while Spivey's got a place up there in the echelons of, you know, being as strong as Krakatuga, but I still think Blazeress is hands down better than Waspivy is, because there's not any conditional effects. It's cast this card, attack twice. There's nothing else to it. It's simple. It's straightforward.
That shielded. Womp womp.
Yeah. It, you know, but I'm not worried about shield with that or whatever. And on top of that, Blazeress is a, where is he? Just saw it. 7-2. I mean, so even if he gets put in the defense, he gets defeated that way. Fine, whatever. The thing of it is that I can just get them back. You know, there's plenty of ways to get them back. So, you know, yeah, they could get shielded. Like anything, can shielded, tsunamied, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I think what Blazers has in its total offense, Krakatuga has in its total defense. It's set up to be completely defensive and not attack, and set up for the expenditures from its ability and eruptions. So, like, it's set up for a more defensive, maybe even a little bit more drawn out, can I get what I need to, like, get this victory? But then again, like, it's like, that's kind of what water's set up for. It's set up for a defensive offense.
All right, water's really good about that.
So we got Galaxy for the swap. That way it gets that to becomes a 9 attack, which is
that is not the way you play Krakatuga in the slightest. That is a terrible way of playing it.
Well, obviously it's a terrible way. I'm just saying it's an option.
That is asking to be Gorgons.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have it, you have it. Okay. I'm just saying, if
I run 3, I target your galaxy, you crash and die. Bye-bye, underwater volcano.
Dude, if it's at the end of... No, listen. If we are at the end of a game, I'm down to, like, 3 spirits, you're down to 2. I use the swap. I am down. I've used all my eruption capabilities.
Then you're not playing a good deck.
All that's left for me is to swap and go on the offensive. That's all I can do.
So you still have your cast?
And if I need to get a 9 attack to hit over, that's what I got to do.
Better option. Kindly of Nexus. Boom the thing you're worried about. Attack directly. Way better.
Yeah, but...
I'm a Kindly of Stan.
Yeah, but then I can... Well, we got Shield, we got Tsunami, we got PTA, we got Gorgons, as you mentioned earlier, you know?
Yeah.
We got options.
Yeah, there are options.
Obviously, as I mean,
there's always outs to everything.
Back row just exists. Like, no matter what we say, we're gonna always respond with, "Oh, well, there's Galaxy, there's a Gorgon though." What?
Yeah.
If everyone's gonna be complaining about, "Oh, back row," how about we talk about the Thunder 2 cost Sonicor? Because that guy stopped those counter runes that everyone keeps mentioning and be like, "Oh, but you could use this."
Oh,
I'm not going to be that person, but I'm going to be that person. Let's go.
So, not to be that person, but oh, but you can just Zeus it and kill it with a 4 attacker.
Well, that's what that's the beauty of this game, though. You're supposed to have an out.
Oh, is that how it's supposed to work? Because it hasn't been working for me lately.
I'm pretty lucky. I get my tsunamis.
You play water, of course you're gonna get tsunamis.
Oh. Yeah, same. My inability to draw tsunami is very much a problem.
I mean,
I played in the tournament. I ran three tsunamis. I saw it in zero of my five games. Did it matter? Yes, I would have won three of them if I'd have seen tsunami. I'm not salty. You are, like the ocean. All right, one thing we haven't talked about yet, which I'm surprised at because it is me, where are the stands for the two-cost wins? Yes, the cricket sounds. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes, the cricket sounds. Oh, you mean Suicune, Fowlicane, Cryosaur? Let's see.
Hey, you missed Glidesdale. Wait, hold on. Glides. Rip. Dale.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you really expect us, the people that I see all over the community, is the Ripathon of Glidesdale. That's what I hear. That's what I see. You want me to mention this card that all I know it to is the connection of everyone ripping it. That's what you want? Yes. Is that what we need to discuss?
Then let's change it. Fowlicane, I think, is probably the best of the wind two costs. That is, I would say it is.
I don't know, because we're also slapping on Twindra too. So
Twindra is too easily punished, in my opinion.
Twindra is Twindra. Yeah.
Fowlicane is expensive, but a perfectly timed Fowlicane is like a difference between a match. Wind is known for blowing back runes. That's what Tornado's for, what Stratomorph's for. P-Gust exists to be a better version of Tornado, to be honest. But a lot of the times, you're only picking off one rune at a time, and Gorgon's means you can't pick up any more until the next turn.
I wish Tornado was good.
I do too.
In a pinch, Tornado can actually do, you know, something that you need it to do. Like if your opponent has Zeus on the board, well, if your opponent has Zeus on the board, you send Zeus back to his hand. Any extra any spirits on him go away. And if he wants to recast it, that's more spirits coming out of his spirit deck. So,
well, I do agree with that.
Yeah, getting rid of divines is good.
The thing that I have to say about Tornado is just the current meta of let's just place everything on the field. It's like even if they have like sure you're gonna hit the divine majority of the time. You might hit a stadium if they have it, but the majority of the time, if you see that divine, you're going to want them to use as much spirits as possible. You're hitting that divine. But I'm just saying that if you have a full back row of four, you're eeny, meeny, mying, mowing with a tornado.
And you also can't respond with Gorgons, which is the biggest downfall the P-Gust has. Because no matter what you target, Gorgons effectively redirects your destruction at the cost of two spirits.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that.
So I think that Tornado would greatly benefit getting a card similar to Drataya plus Ambrosia. If there was a card that gained a benefit from when Tornado is casted, then that would definitely bring it back into the limelight a little bit. Same with Thunderstorm, to be honest, as well.
I mean, I was about to bring up Thunderstorm. I was gonna say Thunderstorm is good because it's a deletion, but it's a two.
So expensive. Yeah.
I know. It's not. It's too expensive for what it does. Like, it's useful, but I'd rather just P-Gust, you know? It's cheaper and I get a defensive body on the field, you know? I you need a connection if you want those to work.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think as we are we have already stated our own types. I want to bring up the fruit deck with Latagon. Now, this is a deck.
Ooh, I have something to bring off from this.
Absolutely.
Afterwards.
I just got to say, Latagon, I've seen a lot in fruit decks are solid. Like, as I love healing, it. Period. I love it. So, I mean, I'm kind of biased in that way. But, I mean, healing is just such a nice thing. And fruit is based on getting those runes and just setting up for those
plays. I've always been a fan of Latagon ever since I watched I think it was Wurtz that made some insane Rise Latagon deck. by far one of my favorite videos that I've seen from this game. I have tried to mimic it. I'm not very good at playing it. I'm too quick to act. I don't think long enough. And the amount of times I've relied on a Clovey draw getting me into the Ambrosia or the Golden Apple to get the win is more times than I'm willing to admit. However, there is something that all two costs need, which is a way of getting on the field consistently, which a lot of them are lacking, which is where I think Viserysk comes into the conversation, which is a strange one, because Viserysk as a one cost is very much seen as a beta that increases its attack the more you get on the field. But I have used it as an ascension tool, very much under the idea, going to Foulerkane, for example, I will special cast a Visk after I beat something with one already on the field, misenchanted, that I will then use to ascend. I've done this with Foulerkane, I've done it with Sonicore, and it always catches my opponent off guard because they're so busy trying to deal with the Visk that now has six attack. The one that's misenchanted is not as big of a threat as they are perceiving it to be.
I definitely do not disagree with you. That is definitely an effective way. And I think Earth is useful. That way they keep that power stacking. And that is what using that ability is for. You said that this is not exactly true, which I'm curious to see your response is. But I think water has the most flexibility to get two costs and higher costs out. Because we have Tadpuff. We got Foamy. We got Mustachian sitting at six defense to hold out. Like, I think we are able to get that out. And just like you said, we can also add a Visk and do water ascension. Like, that's...
The reason why I disagree is because Tadpuff on its own is water specific.
True.
Visk can do any of the elements, including water. But every deck in set one, for sure, runs Earthquake. Earthquake is Earth, and you're running four spirits no matter what, because you want two Earthquakes at minimum. So running an extra Earth allows you to run three Visk and two Earthquake semi-consistently. And therefore, you can quite easily add in your Visks into any deck that's trying to utilize the two cost no matter the element, because you're running those Earthquakes.
True.
And that is the difference. I do think that when you're running water, Tadpuff is better for obvious reasons. But if you're not running water, the other elements massively benefit from Viserysk's existence. Without it, I don't think two costs would nearly be as effective. And even now, like, despite how powerful they can be, that at most they run as a one-off in a deck that you can use to surprise your opponent. Because right now, just one cost deck, because it's so much more consistent with how powerful Shield is.
I mean, if you want to go that route, I 100% agree with you, but you also, there are bears that can help get you your two costs out as well. In fact, I'm gonna give her a shout out. Jai Jin, I played against her, and she used bears to get some guys out. And I was kind of shocked by that play, because she popped out Blazorus, and I'm like, oh, hello there. And that was just an unexpected twist. But I mean, I believe it's Scout, because I destroyed. She got one out and then ascended. I think, yeah, that was what happened. So it was out Earth Scout.
So Scout is the on destruction special cast. Seer is on killing something special cast. Then I would argue Empherix would have been the better option there.
The thing about Empherix is, doesn't it have to be brought out with its specific element? Scout does not. Just like Visk.
But you mentioned Blazorus, so it was correctly enchanted.
Well, yes, but that was just a specific scenario in which she used it on me.
So relying on yourself being destructed is bad.
I'm just saying you can also use the scouts to swap into different spirits.
Yeah. Suppose that's an option. So I do feel like relying on yourself being destroyed is a worse strategy than destroying something. You lose so much momentum for that, which is why I'm not a big fan of Foamy.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't disagree that defensive is the best strategy in the world, because like there's always ways to go around it. And like I see people that PTA, I see people that will just like do anything to get out of it. But I mean, that's just how the plays work. And Fomi, in my opinion, is useful for me because, oh no, I have one or two Elestrals in my starting hand, and I got and one of them's Fomi. Fomi allows me to stall my opponent or get that counter rune used. If I get it used on a 2-3 Fomi, then okay, I'm okay with that. Like, I can still do other things, you know?
Turn around it with Exalta. It does work for everything.
By the way, Amphirix is expend a fire to special cast it. It has no specific enchantment requirements.
Interesting.
You can actually bring it back misenchanted. There are some cards that require them to be properly enchanted.
Tadpuff.
Yeah, Tadpuff is one of them. You know, and that's the thing though, is that Amphirix does not say that. It just says expend a fire to bring it back and special cast it. Does not mean it has to be fire enchanted. It can be water enchanted, it can be earth enchanted, whatever. Primarily, you're probably going to use water on it so that it will not be tsunamied if it decides to attack. If your opponent has, you have free reign to attack your opponent. So, I mean, you know, that's just some options that you have. The other option you have is also just, you know, just a nexus, whatever those elements are, off of it onto wherever you need them to be. So, but yeah, it's just an annoying thing that just keeps coming back and keeps on giving and giving and giving.
I get that. And it's definitely worth using, but man, can that end up being expensive. It's just like Mustation Swap. Like, if I keep swapping to 6 attack, I leave myself not only vulnerable for the next turn, but it just, I keep using up my spirits just to make my offensive. So, I mean, you just got to be cautious of how much you're using and expending.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, though. The spirit management is a huge thing in this game. Because if you don't manage your spirits properly, you're going to find yourself wanting at the end of the game going, oh, if only I had, is a thing I've heard of a lot. Well, I needed this, you know, but I didn't have it, so I couldn't cast this thing. And it's like, yeah, that's true. You know, so you got to be better mindful, more mindful, I should say, of what you're doing with your spirit deck and how you're casting your cards. Because if you're just willy-nilly throwing cards out there, it's like, oh, I'm gonna not misenchant this thing. I'm just gonna enchant everything properly, and it'll all work out. Then you're really missing a big part of the game, because, you know, you need to properly manage your spirits. You know, you need to properly manage, you know, and anticipate what your opponent's going to do. So, like, if you're playing against a water player, you know there's a tsunami coming. So why are you not misenchanting some of your stuff with water, or even just enchanting them with water in addition to their normal, you know, their regular enchantment, you know?
Because my soul really needed to change that position on that Fomi. It really needed to.
No, that's what I'm saying. I was like, you know, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, things like that where, like, if you want the Soilit effect, yeah, you can properly enchant it, but expect to get tsunamied, or expect to get shielded, or expect to get whatever, right? But if it's early in the game and you don't really need that that effect right away, you can misenchant it early on when you first cast it, and you know, swing on turn 2, right?
That is one of my favorite strategies, especially with Ignalta and Soilit specifically.
Right. Because you can always, you know, properly enchant it later by, you know, doing an additional enchantment on it or nexusing to it or whatever. So, you know, you have options. But people should not undervalue the power of misenchantment. Yeah, you lose the ability. Okay, but if that ability is not helping you at this point in time, then misenchant, sacrifice it, move on, do the thing. I have misenchanted Blazers so many times because I've ascended off of a water into Blazers, and it doesn't matter what the water creature was. It could have been a Fomi, it could have been a Tadpole Puff, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But now I have a fire water Blazers. Yeah, I don't get to attack twice on that turn, but I'm still attacking you with a seven creature to your whatever you have. And if it's lower than him, he's killing some stuff.
Taking it, adding to that, it was probably a small two you ascended from. Anywho, I still think that the best best strategy with Blazarus comes under Trident Lock. Because that strategy both protects you from Tsunami. Well, it protects you from counters in general, but without Trident, you're protected from Tsunami and are now doing 6 damage per hit. And every turn, if you have a direct attack, you can increase the amount of damage right. you do to your opponent by 4 just by using Poseidon plus normal enchant, as long as you've got the Trident on the field. It's very, very insane how quick that damage racks up. And one of the strategies I'm very, very close to considering for an upcoming tournament.
Right. Yeah, that's actually valid. I don't tend to run Trident Lock in my aggro decks because I don't have space for it. Because it's all about dropping stuff on the field and just swinging fast and hard and keeping my opponent on their back foot and running the runes that are going to support that or protect me in the meantime from losing stuff that is integral to my strategy. But it is worth considering to side deck it, you know, as an option. I mean, we do have side deck as an option if you make it to top cut in the tournament. But I mean, right now, yeah, doesn't matter otherwise. But yeah, you know.
Oh, yes. It doesn't matter otherwise.
Well, yeah. Well,
I almost got kicked from the tournament because of my side deck.
Oops.
I accidentally put Tektoris instead of Tyratlas and said I had 4 of them.
Oops.
Which very much threw off the judges.
No, they're all 4 Tyratlas. What are you talking about?
Now, we have discussed the strongest among the Elestral types with Latagon, Krakatuga, Blazarus, Falacane, and Sonicor.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, Alien already did bring this up, but I want to know if we're still standing with this. Earthquake is the strongest 2-cost rune. Do we stand by that statement?
No.
Gorgons.
Gorgon's Gaze, all the way.
That is, yes. I was going to say, we have not mentioned Gorgons, and I would have wanted to bring that up, because we have not yet.
It's been mentioned several times, we just haven't actually talked about it. It's the most powerful card in the game, and it's going to see play probably until something stops it from working. Now, we are going to be getting a card in Frostfall that's going to counter it and stop it, but my point is that the counter that is going to stop it shuts it down, yeah, but you have to have, in the scenario, has to be that my opponent has to have the Gorgons and I have to have the response to it. And if it's not there, I can't stop it, so it's going to happen anyway. Gorgons is just so versatile. It does so many things. It's never not going to see play in a deck. At most, you're going to see it down to 2 in a deck, but you're never going to see it completely out of the deck or down to 1. It's always going to be 2 or 3 cards in the deck that are going to be Gorgons almost every time. You just can't avoid it, in my opinion. But, you know, I could be wrong.
Because of how versatile it is.
No, I definitely agree.
Because until something happens to it, you know, like either it gets rotated out of the environment, which we don't know if that's going to happen or not, or it gets banned, or it gets limited in some way, you know, which, again, A-Drive has not said anything about banning or limiting or doing anything like that, or resetting or anything to this date. He's trying to actively avoid any of that, but I don't think it's going to be unavoidable for too long. I mean, once we get into set 12, for example, we're probably going to need to be looking at reducing some cards or removing some cards from the environment in some way, you know.
In that aspect, let's swap from strength to weakness. What do you think is the weakest 2-cost?
Oh, I want to name 5.
Go for it. I'm here for it. Go.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Gatterbolt, Big Nectric, Galvenom,
Yeah, that was my go-to. That was going to be my go-to. I have not seen this thing since prototype. I forgot it existed. That is how rare this thing is.
Yep. Zephrog is also on that list. Right, so Gatterbot Signetric, Galvenom, Zephrog, Spinosect. As much as I hate to say it, Spinosect is on that list.
Yeah.
And I will explain my Spinosect pick. It is purely comes down to how annoying it is to fight against Altar of the Star. Not only can I get Gorgons on my attack and just die, or at least lose my attack, not only can I also get shielded despite running Bag of Winds to protect myself from Earthquake, because targets and non-targets are fun, Altar of the Stars is just Gorgons, a Volcaris or Tectorus, but worse. Because my opponent gets a Nexus and they kill me. Woo! I'm so sad for Spinosect. It was so close to being perfect, and then it was so fun in prototypes.
Yeah, I remember it. It was pretty good.
Because there was no Alter in prototypes. It was only a one-off. If you drew it and you got it on the field, no Tsunami was stopping you, only Shield, and Shield was a two-cost flat out then. So you were always doing two damage no matter what, and as long as you played around Shield, which was easy enough with Equilinx plus MP Gust, you were usually okay. Spinosect was amazing, and then Alter existed, and now Spinosect is nowhere near as close to being amazing as it was, and it's so sad.
I actually think that Spinosect still has a place. I don't think it's the weakest by far. I still think it has a place.
It's not the weakest, but it's the one that hurts me the most.
It's going to get... I think, and you can Alter after they complete the chain with their Altar. I mean,
also Tsunami.
Right.
I mean, if we're going to weakest Earth, I think I would have to go for weakest Earth, the Sakurazor.
Sakurazor.
Well, Barabog and say Timber also on that list as well.
I was going to say Earthquake, but
yeah, totally. No one play Earthquake. Especially against me, perfect.
Yeah, let's not play. Let's never see Earthquake in a deck ever again. It's just no.
Too bad. If I'm running Visk, I'm running Earthquake. And if it's a set one deck, I'm running Visk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who needs Earthquake? I mean, it's so dumb. Yeah. Anyway, I definitely think that it's expend to draw two, and I just don't.
It has to be expend two.
Yeah, it did, and I don't know why. But dude, it was not it at all. And it looks nice. It's a pretty card, but it just does not do much. Especially when there are other cards that just do better.
Quovy does what it does, but better.
Exactly.
To be fair with that, though, what I think is that instead of discard or expend two Earth, it should have been expend two Spirits, because...
Expend one now, but yeah.
It's only expend one now.
Well, either way, it doesn't matter. You're expending one to draw two, right?
Mm.
Now, card cost economy, the things that allow you to draw cards, Drops of Leith, Nectar of the Gods, that sort of thing, right? If you look at it, it's one for one. So, and Drops gives you a bonus one because you're shuffling in however many. But if you only shuffle in one card with Drops, you're still getting two cards for two cost, right? And Nectar of the Gods is two costs for two cards.
Yeah, two for two.
So when you're looking at Sakurazor, it's one spirit for two cards.
That's on paper. It's not one spirit for two cards. It's one spirit plus your cast for two cards, and that's not worth it.
I understand that, but that's what I'm saying, though, is that it ends up being a two for two, because it's a three for two. So it's not cost effective.
It's a three for two.
Right, because you're paying two to bring Sakurazor into play, and then you're expending one to draw two cards. So you're actually, the economy isn't there.
I was literally about to say, in this current meta, Like, I'll just say, I've never seen this card really ever play.
I played it once.
And it's just, like, in this current, like, setup of the game, it's just, like, two costs are hard enough to get out as is.
Right.
Or at least it's very annoying. Because the moment you get it out, everything in the world is aimed at it to be annihilated. Like, it's just...
I literally have a deck designed in Earth to draw as much as possible so that I can then ascend into Centaur and just do a ton of damage to all the cards I've got. I don't even put...
Is Thakrazur in that deck?
No, because Clovey Equivalence does more than Sakura Soul could ever want to.
Yeah.
Well, and my thing is that right now, if you look at it, look at the two costs that are bridges for ascensions, right? Like Blazorus and...
Globby.
Globby. Signatric. Boo. Boo.
Suicune. Globby. Signatric.
Signatric needs buffing.
All of them, guys, right? Now, if you're looking at the two costs that are the ascension bridge, right, that allow you to special ascend into your three cost, okay? Well, not a lot of them are used. I mean... Blazorus is used, obviously, because Blazorus is awesome, but...
I don't know what you're talking about.
We forgot one. Griffuse.
I just don't care about that. But what I'm saying is that...
Oh, it wasn't forgotten, it was ignored. Got it.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is, though, is that only one or two of the five elements... that have ascensions, hardly, you know, for example, I play an Imperial deck, and I'm not even running the two cost in the Imperial deck, because Signectric is bunk for getting Imperial out. I have an easier way of getting him out without him. Well, you need Griffuse to get to Voltempest, right?
Arguably no, so but continue.
You can get around it. The thing is that... But how often are the bridges getting you to your three cost is what I'm trying to get at. You know,
Globby is amazing at it.
Globby is like one of the few. Really one of the few.
Yeah, Globby and Suicune are amazing at it.
Right.
And Twindra to some extent.
Well, and Twindra's not ascending. It's special casting.
That is true.
So unless you want to ascend your Twindra, which would be cheaper in the long run.
That is true.
You can do it that way, but most people don't even hard ascend their Pantera line. But the thing is that of all of the bridge cards for the full line of ascensions that we have, we only use out of the 10 that exist, I guess? Or no, 8 or 9, somewhere around in there, right? Of them, only about maybe two or three of them are actually used for the intent and the express purpose of ascending into year three cost, right?
Just so shut down so quickly. That's the downside. Right. Again, Gorgons plays into this because you can try and go your ascension through your two cost, and Gorgons is just going to stop it every time.
Well, see, the thing that most people are not thinking about, like, everyone's like counters, and here's a counter that I want to talk about that's a two cost: Helios's Chariot Ride.
Trash.
You want to do something smoothly? This is how you do it.
I respond with Gorgons. The turn you can, you cast Helios's Chariot Ride, I get a window to cast Gorgons on something to stop you from ascending.
Ah, darn! I use Tadpuff. Sucks to suck.
You have Tadpuff in hand. I use a second Gorgons.
Hi, I'm a water player. Player. I do my thing.
I mean, I am betraying myself playing an Imperial deck, but I mean, you know, I am a fire player. We all know this.
I do what I do best. I see an opening, I'm going to use it. And I'm going to say Helios is very useful when I want to get something done. I will use it. Especially if I have Tadpuff in hand to get the Ascension out.
Yeah.
Helios, Tadpuff, Cap attacks, destroys, gets my Sluggle or whatever I have from the underworld out to either heal me or do damage. You know? Get something.
That's because you're mean.
I find it useful.
Yeah.
And it's a good It's a good, hey, it's the ultimate stop. Like, you're like, everyone's counters. Well, here's something that I can do right here, right now that can stop that.
It's the counter.
It's the counter.
Yeah. My only experience with Helios is casting it, ready to go into, ready to use my Griffey's effects to go into Voltempest, and then getting Gorgons, and then never running Helios ever again. I have never considered this.
I actually stopped running Helios, to be honest. I mean, I was running it for a long time in my aggro decks, you know, and my blitz decks.
At this point, I just play into Gorgons. If they use Gorgons, I'd have to survive a turn, and they lost two spirits.
Right.
That's how I see Gorgons now, if I'm trying to use it.
Yeah, you know.
I will still cherish my play of Rise from the Ashes, the Astrabbit, to grab a Griffuse from the top three look, to then normal ascend, to then Nexus of the Zeus that I had in hand, to then go straight into Voltempest, disenchant, and attack the game. That will forever be my favorite play.
I mean, there's another thing. Nah, see, you want to talk about a play that I think is crazy? I use the Chariot. Whatever I have on field gets Gorgons. I use Rise to get Sluggle, so Rise is free. Then I ascend.
Yeah, it's one cheaper than using Tadpuff. Congratulations.
It's one cheaper than using Tadpuff. It is a play that I have done, like, I've thought of doing before, but like, I don't think I've ever successfully done it in a game. But I just, like, that is such a cool idea.
It's not a good... Then the baboons, shocker, it's probably not a good play.
Oh, no, it's a pain in the ass, because you need all this... Like, dude, think about it. You need three specific cards to get that done successfully.
Yeah. I played turn one Majesty that needs five and pulled it off. I have done Tadpuff into Poseidon into normal Ascension into Majesty into Trident plus Bag of Winds on my first turn. That was fun. That one's really fun.
Yeah.
They are.
Wait, those type of plays are fun, though.
I don't know. I think the ones that piss the people off the most when they play against me in my Trifurnal deck is that I usually always have Trifurnal on turn two.
Well,
and they're like, I got to deal with that. And they're like, yeah, you do have to deal with that. Meanwhile, while they're dealing with my Trifurnal, I'm setting up the rest of my strategy.
This is something I have to admit. As a water player, I forget this card exists. And as cool as it looks, I got to say, Ivory, where'd you come from? What do you do? What?
The fact that specifically Typhlon ruins so many cool ideas it could have. I have run... Oh.
I know, right? I'm just saying, you want to talk about the worst, bro. It hurts. It hurts so bad.
For a hot minute.
Oh, yeah. So, Zephrog is also on the list if we're talking about bad waters.
Nah. See, Zephrog at least can make a play.
Ivory just can't.
Like, it's like the frog's ability is just like Spark It if I can hit you.
Okay, better comparison. It's just like a Vault's ability without the damage boost.
There you go. That's another example. Yeah.
Better example.
Better example. Anyway, so Zephrog has its uses. Ivory does not. And that is my statement.
So when you talked about the worst Earth 2 cast, did you forget the Scavenge Gem exists?
See, what I think about Scavenge Gem is that it just, at least it can search exactly what you need.
No, baboons, it doesn't, because it doesn't happen when you rise it. It has to be when you ascend it. And when you ascend it, you then have to expend, and then you get Gorgons. It's awful. It's so bad, because it's stuck there on the field with middling stats. It's got worse stats than the Carousel.
I'd like to say, what would you rather Gorgon, Scavenge Gem or Sakurazor?
Scavenge Gem, because then it's useless.
Exactly my point. They both expend. At least you're forcing your opponent to use a Gorgons, which they only have three of. That's my point.
I just wish that Scavagem wasn't on Ascend. I wish it was on Cast. Because at least then I could run Ride Strats, and that would at least make it useful. If it does get Gorgons, I want it dead as soon as possible so I can rise it.
Well, I do agree with it to a certain extent. That being said, I'm at least, like I said, Sakurazor is not even worth the Gorgons. At least Scavagem has an ability that makes it somewhat useful.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, it feels better if I get Gorgons from a Scavagem. That's like, oh, okay, I expected this. Like, if you want a Gorgons my Sakurazor, I'm like, why? Well,
there's like, one card I'm surprised you haven't mentioned, Baboons, and like, I definitely want to talk about it. I think it's so unique. What's your thoughts on Cracking?
Okay, I wanted to bring up Cracking, but I had to think of Ivory. Now, Cracking. Yeah. Is something that it's fun to play. Everyone's like, oh, if you get it out within like turn two and get two of them out, you block the entire board. Wow. And I'm like, okay, there's a few things wrong. First, you need six specific cards.
Yes, you do.
And that's not gonna happen.
Rise, Golden Apple, Cracking is, and you need three, you need two of each.
Like I said.
Well, actually, five. You can do it in five. Double Cracking, Golden Apple, Rise, Tadpuff. You can do it in five.
Yes. Yes, I guess yes, that is five. But like I said, too many to make it either consistent, useful, or effective. Funny. However, everyone, like even like most people that aren't even like familiar with the game, I see people are like, ooh, Cracking, that's such a cool card. And it is a cool card. Yeah. And its effect to block two, while not being perfect or amazing, it's still better than its pre-ascension, which is Kraken. Kraken doesn't even stall correctly, dude.
Oh, poor Kraken.
No, like I brought it up in a previous episode, but it's like, haha, I stun you. I'm two attack and two defense. Oh, you have a three? Wow, you attack me twice. Wow. Like, he doesn't even stun right. Like, what?
Oh, I'm dead. I can't do whatever you cast next, yeah.
Like, compared to Kraken, Kraken is the ultimate card. Like,
poor Kraken.
I don't know. I'm still a fan of Kraken and Gelato combo. I think that's just fun.
Yeah. Same. But the problem with Gelato combo is that your opponent just destroys whatever face down was there with an invoke rune to then put down another face down. And the only thing Cracking is ever scared of is PTA on cast or shield, which means you're more likely wanting to run Trident Lock, which is not easy to do without extra pieces in play.
Right, I mean, it's in base set, it's not a solid strategy. I mean, it might become better in future sets.
Yeah.
You know, we can't speculate on that, but...
I can see it becoming scary.
It could potentially, as far as lock goes, that is definitely part of the lock strategy. And control is what water does really, really well. And I think with future iterations of water cards, there is a potential... possibly, that we could see a water control deck that just locks everything down and your opponent is stuck with, well, I need to get rid of that card. Okay, you got rid of that card. How about this card? You know, which is going to do the exact same thing. Oh, crap. Now I got to deal with this again.
I mean, that would be very cool. Yeah. That would be very cool. And I would love to see more expansions for Cracking. Like, if it can get more like sustainability or something that helps assist with backup. Like right now, the current strongest artifact, which is a two cost we've talked about before, is Trident. Or at least I think that's what our consensus was a few episodes ago.
I will agree with that. I wasn't here a few episodes ago. I will agree that Trident is the best one.
Trident is the current best artifact. Yeah. And as a two, it is just objectively good for stomping out the counters.
It's the best standalone effect, and it is the best combined effect when paired with the Divines.
I remember when it was useless back in the day.
It's certainly better than the Hammer of Hephaestus, I'll tell you that.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Hammer's so good. Yay. No.
Oh, poor Jameson. Speaking of, what is your least favorite two cost?
Two cost of just runes? Or Elestrals?
Elestral. Well, we'll go with Elestral, because two cost rune is hammer it.
Everything. No, actually, you know, like I said before, I think my least favorite is anything that's a bridge right now that's not getting used because it's bunk. I would say Signetric, because that's the one I have the most experience with, because of its stipulation to be able to get out Imperial, right? And I mean,
yeah, that 12 is so high.
Yeah, but I run 18 Thunder Spirits in my deck, and that 12 is not hard for me to get to, but it's such a weird requirement, you know, and I get Imperial out regularly without it, so I don't really care that much about him.
I agree with that.
I think it should have been 10. It definitely should have been 10.
Yeah, I think that's fine. That's half the deck. But, you know, and then looking at the other ones, I mean...
Because you need two on it, so it should be 10.
I mean, looking at the other ones, they're the ones I just don't like, obviously, for various reasons. But as far as the weakest, yeah, Signetric is up there. I would say Lycavolt is in that ballpark.
Oh, no, I love Lycavolt. So Lycavolt?
No, Lycavolt's great. I disagree with that a lot. I'd say my go-to is just I never see Gattabolt. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure.
That's where I was, but I was going. That was where I was headed, though. Is that, you know, I was like, I'm running down the list, you know.
No matter what happens, I always forget about Gattabolt. Like I said, last time I saw him was Prototype.
Well, no one's mentioned Phyrexian.
I was about to go there. I was about to say the only thing we had not talked about was fire. I was literally about to go there. I was literally.
Do you know why we didn't mention Phyrexian? Because honestly, it does not need to be talked about because everybody knows it's garbage.
We already know who's the worst fire. Yeah,
it's Racerose, but bad. And Racerose is currently bad.
Racerose is a one cost.
Well, the thing is that okay, it's great. If it was a one cost, I would freaking run it, right? But it's not a one cost. It's a two cost. Why am I going to waste my two cost slot on something like that? I've got better cards to run into the two cost.
Yeah. Thunder is literally in every deck, which is why Racerose is bad. Fire is in zero decks, and yet Phyrexian is still bad.
Well, there's a fair amount of fire that's run in several decks. Necruf seems to make his rounds quite frequently.
I was gonna say, like, for my Boil, like, Krakatuka deck, there's plenty of fire to go around.
Yeah, that is a fire card. Any deck that isn't running a fire card doesn't run Fire Spirit.
Fair.
I will say now, I run, like, my wind decks are usually consisting of four of the five available spirits, because we don't count Frost yet. I'm running, like, as much wind as I can, while also running enough Earths for Earthquake and Visk, and Thunders for Ashtrabbit, and Waters for Tsunamis. At no point am I considering fire in there, because if I'm getting burned, I'm just gonna burn them back harder.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an argument for that. I mean, honestly, there's an argument for that. Fire is not very strong right now, and that's the consensus for the community, is that fire is one of the weakest of the elements. When in reality, in the hands of the right pilot, with a decent deck that they built that runs and does exactly what they want it to do, fire is just on point. It does so well. I mean, and I can't really fault people for saying what they say about fire, especially with the fire starter, but
is Fire slots are too bogged down by the bears, is my take.
Yeah. Well, and my thing is that when they did the starter deck tournament last year, what was it, the first or second tournament?
Oh, I think it was the very first tournament because the app wasn't fully up and ready for tournaments yet, and they didn't want to limit people by making it so you had to buy booster boxes right. Like the best cards. However, they still limited people because if you only got one starter deck, you had two Gorgons, and that was it. And that's one of each starter deck.
And the thing is that I could have won that tournament with the fire deck, with Trifernal, if I had remembered to play a certain card at a certain point. But I still made top cut in that tournament.
I've made that mistake.
With the fire starter. This brings me back to my point, though. It was with a fire starter deck, right? Which is considered the weakest of all five decks that are currently available, right?
Yeah, it's something I'm yet to do, so.
Yeah.
Just half of it's mill, and the other half is, and the half of the deck is mill, and then that ends up making like a quarter of the fire element as a whole is mill, and then the other quarter is bears. So you've got really like right. half the cards available for non-bear, non-mill fire decks.
Now, I'm going to say that is fire currently.
Yes. Or would you say now?
And while I don't disagree, yes. I'm going to shift the topic completely.
Like you do.
As I do.
I'm not even a part of this regularly, and I know.
As the sporadic man I am, I am the host. I am using my host powers right here, right now. I am changing the fire topic completely.
That's a great segue.
Perfect. And I am going to say right here, right now, we have talked about Gorgons being the strongest, but what is the worst rune? I nominate the Necklace of Harmonia.
Charles Box nomination has been declined.
You say Pandora, but I mean everyone. Use the searchers.
No, I got you both beat. Charon's Obol.
That's a one cost.
Is Charon's Obol?
That's a one cost.
I know.
Two cost. We're talking two cost.
Yeah, but we're talking two cost. That's the whole point of today.
Your suggestion is denied.
Your suggestion is denied.
I said it better.
I'm playing with you guys.
Yeah. Now, the final thing before we wrap up here, I want to say, why do you think Pandora's Box is worse than Necklace of Harmonia?
It's not that I think... Okay, so this will mean the exact same thing, but it's not that I think Pandora's Box is worse than Necklace. It's because I think Necklace is better than Pandora's. Which, it says the exact same thing, but it sounds better. Because I think Necklace has an amazing niche with Hydrate.
Okay, I'd like to say in all side decks, Pandora's Box is there.
Except for mine. So, not all.
Except for mine. It's not in all side decks.
It's in all side decks, but in a lot of side decks, people use Pandora's Box because there are so many search effects.
It's not even in Jameson's mill decks.
Does it? So Pandora's works on Foamy. It works on Smoltuga. Doesn't it even work on Hydrake and Twindra?
Yes, it searches. It works on Aeolus.
Yes. The only thing it's on is Astrabbit, which is the most common one. But
that's why I think Necklace works. Because let's say I give Astrabbit a Necklace. I then crash with Hydrake. How many times do you move Astrabbit into attack to get some chip damage because your opponent has a clear board? It happens often. I can just give Astrabbit the Necklace and then crash with Hydrake. And it's very quick to do, very easy. And on top of that, I run an Earth deck, so it's around Sprouter and Demeter. And the idea is if my opponent ever puts a card in attack, it doesn't matter what the stat is unless it's a one attack. If it's got two attack, it still works. Because I can use Demeter on my opponent's card to boost their attack and then have Hydrake crash twice. And Necklace is a part of that strategy.
Now, I would like to state this. I, 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 In the current state of Elestrals, I believe Pandora's Box is more commonly used and is better. But as the game continues, and because they have a desire for 2 and 3 costs to become more common, they've already said they want to have 2 costs and 3 costs more readily usable. I think Necklace will be a great way to be like, oh, you have a 3 cost that's annoying the daylights out of me? Let me just strap this on so you're forced to get rid of your 3 costs. Or like something else. Like, I feel like Necklace will eventually get more and more use out of it. But as it currently stands, I think Pandora's is better.
No, I would say the Necklace is better because of that one niche strategy, because it's so out there. Because I don't care what is in your side deck. If you don't bring it, it's not in your deck. If you're side decking it, then it's because you're scared of searchability. Like, you're never putting it in, is what I'm saying. Because everything that can search can be Gorgons, except Aeolus. So the only time Pandora's is ever really going to be brought is if you're going against someone that is heavily reliant on Aeolus. But I can almost guarantee, because this happens to me constantly, people that side deck Pandora's or decide to bring Pandora's against me never get to use it, because that'll be the game where I don't see Aeolus. It's always the case. I just draw into my Pegasus and my Exalta, and then I have Island. Or I have Aeolus, I give it its stats, but I never disenchant from it, because I already have the cards I need, so I just do the Nexus instead. And then I target and destroy the Pandora's. They can't respond. They get burned. Haha. That Pandora really helped you, didn't it, buddy? Like, that's why I think otherwise there. I think Pandora's is niche because you have to bring it in a game 2. You're never bringing it to game 1. And there are only, you know, so many game 2s and 3s that we do.
Well, thank you, everyone, so much for watching. And I thank my wonderful co-hosts for coming and joining me today. And I would like to say what an adventure it has been. And I'm excited for the next one.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I hope you enjoyed the content. And anything for you, Alien, before we head out?
Bye, Bitcoin. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this program. If you'd like to know more information about Elestrals or any of the other topics we discussed today, just click any of the links in our description. They'll take you to the various different locations to learn more about Elestrals and the people that make it. Also, if you'd like to support us, you can just click one of the links in the description. That'll take you to our Patreon page, where just a small donation will get you behind-the-scenes content and other fun things that we're going to be doing in the future. If you'd like to support us in another way, please go ahead and like, share, and subscribe. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope you have a fantastic day.